Karma ಅಥಾಯತಯಜ್ಞೇಷಾಂ ದ್ರವ್ಯಕ್ರಿಯಾ ದೇವತಾನಾಂ ಕರ್ಮ ಕರ್ಮ ಫಲಪ್ರದಂ ಯದಾಯದಾಯ ಭೂರಿ ದಕ್ಷಿಣೇ ದ್ರವ್ಯಕ್ರಿಯಾ ದೇವತಾನಾಂ ಕರ್ಮ ಕರ್ಮ ಫಲಪ್ರದಂ ಅದಾಯದಯಜ್ಞೇಷಾಂ ಪೃಥ್ವೀ ಭೂರಿ ದಕ್ಷಿಣೇ ದ್ರವ್ಯಕ್ರಿಯಾ ದೇವತಾನಾಂ ಕರ್ಮ ಕರ್ಮ ಫಲಪ್ರದಂ
ಅಥಾ ಅಯಚತ ವರ್ಷಿಪ್ಟ್ ಯಜ್ಞೇಷಾಂ ಸಾಕ್ರಿಫೈಸಸ್ ಪ್ರತುಬೀ ಪ್ರತುಬೀ ಬೈ ಸಾಕ್ರಿಫಿಷಿಯಲ್ ಪರ್ಫಾರ್ಮೆನ್ಸ್ ಬೈ ಸಾಕ್ರಿಫಿಷಿಯಲ್ ಪರ್ಫಾರ್ಮೆನ್ಸ್ ಬೋರಿ ಗ್ರೇಟ್ ಲಕ್ಷಣಾಯ ದಕ್ಷಿಣೇ ಬೈ ಚಾರಿಟೀಸ್ ಬೈ ಚಾರಿಟೀಸ್ ಡ್ರಾಪ್ ದಿ ಕ್ರಿಯಾ ದೇವತಾನಾ
results of activities.
The results of activities.
Pradham.
Rewards.
Rewards. Translation: as long as he remained at home, Dhruva Maharaj performed many great ceremonial sacrifices in order to please the enjoyer of all sacrifices, the Supreme Personality of the Godhead. Prescribed ceremonial sacrifices, especially meant to please Lord Vishnu, who is the objective of all such sacrifices and who awards the resultant benedictions. Purport in Bhagavad Gita, it is said, Yayagat Kamano Yatra Lokoyam Karma Bandana. One should act or work only in order to please the Supreme Lord, otherwise one becomes entangled in the resultant reactions. According to the four divisions of Varna, Ashram, Kshatriyas, and Vaishyas, are especially advised to perform great ceremonial sacrifices and to distribute their accumulated money very liberally. Dhruva Maharaj, as a king and ideal Kshatriya, performed many such sacrifices, giving very liberally in charity. Kshatriyas and Vaishyas are supposed to earn their money and accumulate their riches. Sometimes they do it by acting sinfully. Kshatriyas are meant to rule over a country. Dhruva Maharaj, for example, in the course of ruling, had to fight and kill many yakshas. Such action is necessary for kshatriyas. A kshatriya should not be a coward and should not be non-violent. To rule over the country, he has to act violently. Kshatriyas and Vaishyas are therefore especially advised to give in charity at least 50% of their accumulated wealth. In Bhagavad Gita, it is recommended that even though one enters the renounced order of life, he still cannot give up the performances of yogi dana and tapasya. They are never to be given up. Tapasya is meant for the renounced order of life. Those who are retired from worldly activities should perform tapasya, penances, and austerities. Those who are in the material world, the kshatriyas and vaishyas, must give charity. Brahmacharis, in the beginning of their lives, should perform different kinds of yajnas. Dhruva Maharaj, as an ideal king, practically emptied his treasury by giving charity. The king is not meant simply to realize taxes from the citizens and accumulate wealth to spend in sense gratification. World monarchy has failed ever since kings began to satisfy their personal senses with the taxes accumulated from the citizens. Of course, whether the system is monarchy or democracy, the same corruption is still going on. In the present moment, there are different parties in the democratic government, but everyone is busy trying to keep his political party in power. The politicians have very little time to think of the welfare of the citizens, whom they oppress with heavy taxes in the form of income tax, sales tax, and many other taxes. People sometimes have 80 to 90% of their income taken away, and those taxes are largely spent for the high salaries drawn by the officers and rulers. Formerly, the taxes accumulated from the citizens were spent for performing great sacrifices is enjoined in the Vedic literature. At the present moment, however, almost all forms of sacrifice are not at all possible. Therefore, it is recommended in the Shastras that people should perform Sankirtan Yajna. Any householder, regardless of his position, can perform this Sankirtan Yajna without expenditure all the family members can sit down together and simply clap their hands and chant Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. Somehow or other, everyone should manage to perform such a yajna and distribute prasad to the people in general. That is quite sufficient in this age of Kali. The Krishna consciousness movement is based on this principle. Chant the Hare Krishna Mantra at every moment as much as possible, both inside and outside of the temple, and as far as possible, prasad. This process can be accelerated with the cooperation of state administrators and those who are producing the country's wealth. Simply by liberal distribution of prasad and sankirtan, the whole world can become peaceful and prosperous. Generally, in all the material sacrifices recommended in Vedic literature, their offerings to the demigods. This demigod worship is especially meant for less intelligent men. Actually, the result of such sacrifice goes to the Supreme Personality of Godhead and I. Lord Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, Bhoktaram Yajna Tapasam, he is actually the enjoyer of all sacrifices. His name, therefore, is Yajna Purusha. Although Dhruva Maharaj is a great devotee and nothing to do with these sacrifices, to set an example to these people, he performed many sacrifices and gave all his wealth to charity. For as long as he lived as a householder, he never spent a farthing for his sense gratification. In this verse, the word karma followed for dhamma is very significant. The Lord awards everyone different kinds of karma as the individual living entities desire. He is super soul present within the heart of everyone and so kind of liberal that he gives everyone full facilities to perform whatever acts one wants. Then the result of action is also enjoyed by the living entity. If anyone wants to enjoy our Lord over material nature, he gives him full facilities, but he becomes entangled in the resultant reactions. Similar, if anyone wants to engage himself fully in devotional service, the Lord gives him full facility and the devotee enjoys the results. The Lord is therefore known as Karma Phala Prada. As long as he remained at home, Dhruva Maharaj performed many great ceremonial sacrifices in order to please the enjoyer of all sacrifices, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Prescribed ceremonial sacrifices, especially men, to please Lord Vishnu, who is the objective of all such sacrifices and rewards the resultant benedictions. So this describes the activities of Dhruva Maharaj after he was blessed by Kubera and Manu. So it describes his activities as a king. And so here it describes that he did worship Vishnu, Yagesham, through sacrifices and giving him charity. So this is one of the activities of a king. And of course these activities are part of karma yoga, not part of bhakti yoga. But the ultimate beneficiary of the yajna is Vishnu. So in that sense it is also devotional. Now in the material world these sacrifices are carried out with the worship of devatas also. And the goal is generally material prosperity. So that part of it is the material aspect of it. Because Vishnu was involved, we have a little bit of devotion there. But of course, Dhruva was a great devotee of the Lord. Why would he perform these sacrifices at all? Why not just hear and chant and worship the deity? So because he was the king, he did this. In other words, the king institutes karma, yoga, for the general population and sets an example by performing these types of activities. So this is meant for the people in general. So he carried this out as a duty. Just as he also has to rule the kingdom as a duty, even though he would prefer simply to worship the Lord. He has to rule the kingdom. Similarly performs these yajnas as part of his duty. So here yajnesha means Vishnu. He is the Lord of the sacrifice. And he is also the giver of results of activities. And therefore he should be worshipped. So we do activities, we get results. But the results are given ultimately by the Supreme Lord. So we should not think that we produce the result. So it is an illusion to think we are the doer of the activity and the maker of the result. Ultimately, it is the Supreme Lord that allows us to get a certain result from activities. So we get a direct result from an activity, and of course we also get a long-term result in terms of karmic reaction. So if we do an activity in a sinful way, we may get immediate enjoyment, but long-term we get suffering. So the Lord also is in charge of that. He makes the law of karma. So our enjoyment is a result of the Lord's actions, and also our suffering is a result of the Lord's actions. So in all cases, we are dependent upon the Supreme Lord. The final result of our actions is given by the Supreme Lord. In this way, we are bound in the material world by certain laws. We cannot act independently. The Lord will give us results. And so, therefore, one way of respecting this law is to do sacrifices in which we recognize the supreme position of the Supreme Lord as the giver of all things. Yajna means worship. So by performing yajna, we worship the Lord and recognize his position. And since we do respect the Supreme Lord, then the Lord gives proper results to us. As explained in the Bhagavad Gita, do yajna, and then the devotees are pleased, and they give rain. And then you get food. So by recognizing their positions, they give results to us. So in the same way, by recognizing the position of Vishnu, we get results from him. So the only difference between worshipping a devata and worshipping the Supreme Lord is that the Supreme Lord controls all the devatas. So instead of worshipping individual devatas, we simply worship the Supreme Lord, and we get all results. If we worship one devata, we get one particular result. So if we worship Kubera, we get money. We worship Dhanvantari, or others, we get health or whatever. So by worshipping different persons, we get particular benefits. If we worship the Supreme Lord, we get all benefits. And this, of course, is material. Material benefits. That's karma yoga. But actually, if we worship the Lord, not only do we get material benefits, we also get spiritual benefits. So that is the advantage, the second advantage. Not only do we get all material results by worshipping the Lord, we also get spiritual results from worshipping the Lord. So that is actually the best result we can get. So not only does the Lord give material results for one's activities, but he also gives spiritual results. So if we worship the Supreme Lord, we can get prosperity in the material world, but more than that, we can develop our spiritual life. And ultimately, of course, we can get whatever moksha offers, but the devotee doesn't want that. So all the karmas are dissolved and bondage is dissolved, that effort is there, but the devotee actually only wants devotion, as was expressed by Dhruva. And then when he spoke to Kuvera, he says, simply, I want to have devotion to the Supreme Lord. So that is the what the Lord gives. We act with devotion, and the Lord gives more devotion. So this is the result that the Lord gives to the devotee. And by that, of course, everything is achieved. If you want material things, you want liberation, whatever, that is also achieved. But ultimately, the increase of bhakti leads to prema. So that is the perfection of bhakti. That is the goal of the devotee. Through his bhakti, he achieves prema, or perfect bhakti. So it's the same bhakti, but in a perfect form. So this is awarded by the Supreme Lord for the devotee. So Dhruva was playing a dual role. He was playing the role of a king, in which he executed karma, yoga, sacrifices, to set an example for everyone. Yet, he worshipped the Supreme Lord by that, therefore it was not exactly simply karma yoga, it was worship of the Lord in there as well. So he did this out of duty, but his main activity ultimately was simply to worship the Supreme Lord. It was mentioned previously that he wanted remembrance of the Lord at all times. So even though he does these activities of karma, nevertheless, he was blessed with thinking of the Lord at all times. So therefore, he did not become contaminated in any way by karma yoga, because karma yoga is in Rajagun, whatever. So he did not become contaminated by that because of his thoughts of the Supreme Lord. So he did these activities as a matter of duty while thinking of the Supreme Lord. So that's where his devotion lay. He did smaranam, just as Prahlad did smaranam. And therefore, these activities were, we can say, in one sense, superficial as a matter of duty. So in this way, he carried out the two roles, that of being a king and enacting karma yoga to set an example, and on the other hand, being completely absorbed in the Supreme Lord. And in this way, he got great pleasure. His great pleasure was simply to please the Lord by his devotion. So that was his perfection. So because he also had a duty to Manu, therefore he did all of this, these other activities. But his final goal was that he got out of this after 36,000 years. He was free from this type of activity, and he attained the Supreme Lord. So that was the most satisfying goal for him. So though he had the this huge kingdom, he was not attached to it at all. He had already rejected it when Vishnu offered it to him, but Vishnu made him take it. But throughout his long reign of 36,000 years, he was not attached to it at all. Why? Because he was completely attached to the Supreme Lord. So he was protected from material contamination by his constant bhakti. So that was his outstanding quality. So if we worship Vishnu, fine. But in Karmakanda, they also worship Vishnu, but he's one among many. They worship him, but he's not the constant object of worship, and he's there in the worship. So therefore, it's not really considered bhakti. If we only worship Vishnu in Yajna, then that's fine. But in Karmakanda, they also worship devatas and whatever. So that's the difference. It's not the primary element there. Vishnu. Of course, Vasudeva also refers to the Vishnu form in the Chaturvyuha. That's the Vishnu form. Well, it depends. If you take it as Vasudeva, the son of Vasudeva, as Krishna, then you can attain Krishna. And if you think of him as four-handed Narayan form, then you attain that form, depending on your consciousness.
If we are chanting Hare Krishna, then we will see only Krishna.
Yeah. Of course, if we worship Vasudeva, then we attain the Vasudeva in Mathura and Dwarka, not the form in Vrindavan. If they concentrate on that as their main sadhana, they go to Dwarka instead. Or they may go to Vaikuntha if they think of him as Vishnu form. It's not said, but I would assume that because the mantra was given by Narada, he would continue chanting that.
ஒரு மலை தான்
அது, இன்னொரு மலை
நீங்களே கட் பண்ணி
அப்புறமும் காவல்ட்டேன் கட் பண்ணி காவல்ட்டேன்.